Pro esse da notícia. Para o worship you, Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Glory, who has loved us, who loved God, and has chosen us in you before the foundation of the world. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that you know, redeem our life from destruction. Lord, of God has made us to be member of his own very body. Ephesians 5 says we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. What scripture says we are planted at the palm of his hand. And nobody, no angel, no principality can pluck us out of his hand. Father, we thank thee, Lord, eternal security as we abide in him and his word abide in us. We can always ask what we will. And it shall be done unto us. Father, thank you, Lord. We worship and adore you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. Amen? All to this time, it is all about that, you know. I can borrow another word from John the Baptist, you know. He said, in the gospel, he said, the wrath that is to come, the wrath to come. That was his face in one place and so on. So from there, I want to tell you this morning by the grace of God. I had the grace from John the Baptist. So this morning, the wrath and the judgment to come. Amen? Praise the Lord. The wrath and the judgment to come. Don't that won't scare you. I believe by the grace of God, we'll be happier that we are Christians by the time we leave this subject this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I say we'll be happy that we are Christians by the grace of God by the time we are done with this subject this morning. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, as far as God is concerned, the race, the human race, is classified into three. You are the Jew, you are the church, and the Gentile or the nations. Amen? That's how God sees the race. You are the Jew, you are the church of the living God, and then you have the nations. That's how God sees them as well as that, you know. And there is the judgment for each of these three classes. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's how I call it, the wrath and the judgment to come. There is the judgment to each of them. Let's begin with the Jew. Now, the judgment, first of all, there will be a time during which the church, the Jews, and the Gentiles, or the nations, shall be judged. Let's begin with the Jews and so on. The judgment of the Jews will be during the great tribulation under the Antichrist on this earth. Let's take a look at that very quickly. While the judgment of the church will take place at the judgment seat of Christ, going ahead of myself, the Jews will be judged under the Antichrist on this earth. Where, in a way, the Jews are earthly people, so to say, in so many Bible, recordings and renditions. They are people, they are earthly people, they are things on this earth and so on. While the church of the living God is more or less of heavenly and so on. So it follows that the judgment of the Jew should be earthly judgment or character. And the basis of their judgment is their rejection of Christ. That's the reason for why they are all judged differently and so on. So the basis of the judgment of the Jew is their rejection of Christ. When he came in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not, the Lord said, talking to the Jew. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's the Antichrist, right? You know, you already forecast everything. When he was here, I found that, you know. In Luke 13:34, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, we killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered their children together as a hen does gather a brood under her wings, and ye will not. Behold, the Lord told them, your house is left unto you desolate. We are talking on the basis for their judgment, right? Your house is left to you desolate. And verily I say unto you, he said, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then he told of their scattering, you know, beginning of their judgment and so on in Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's one of the, I will say, one of the, pivotal prophecies of the Bible in there, you know. The scattering and the gathering of the Jews. The time of the Gentiles. Today we can see now the time of the Gentiles is really being fulfilled. We are living the transition time. Anyway, now that the Jews are gathered together in the Holy Land, so that means the time of the Gentiles is ended. That one is telling you and I, we are on borrowed time. As Gentiles, we are, the church, I will say, is on a borrowed time, really, on borrowed time. So time is short, really. So, but they remain unconverted, though they are in their land, they are not converted. As if they are a nation. And we know they are going to be safe as a nation, right? So, but we see one of them safe here and there, but all in all, Israel shall be safe as a nation and so on. Well, they will be, now before that time, they will be caused to pass through under the rod. Their prophet told them, prophet Ezekiel told them, let's begin to see the judgment of the Jews, right? Ezekiel 20:34. And I will bring you out from the people. And I will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered. With a mighty hand. And with a stretched out hand. Yeah, we bring it and quite right, like he did now. And with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, hear the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. See, chastisement is coming for the Jews. But they are finding a lot of truth, a lot of things, but they are there, you know, the words are still coming before it gets better for them, you know. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, they will be cast into God's melting point. Ezekiel told them again, God's melting point, yes. Ezekiel 22:21. Yea, I will gather you, like it's me, I will gather them now, and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath. I say the wrath and the judgments to come, right? The wrath and judgment to come, right? Now, see? Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath. And ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. Talking to the Jew, right? And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Yet, Bible says, they will pass through an experience spoken of by Jeremiah, another prophet. And even Daniel, you know, they call it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 34. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus said the Lord. We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Whereof do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Amen? Amen. Now, even more on Daniel said the same thing, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. See? Every word that shall be found written in the book. So he said, thy people, I'm talking to the Jew, right? know, because Daniel was a Jew, right? Obviously the Jew and so on, I see. Now, the King of Kings himself came, who sent the prophet, the God of the prophets, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ called it the Great Tribulation. In Matthew 24:21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And the rest of that chapter, which probably we're going to look into a little bit more, you know, and together with Zechariah 14, they associate this tribulation with the visible, I call it visible, or the revelation coming of Christ. We always emphasize the coming of the Lord is not singular. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's not a singular coming. It will come for the rapture. You know that? Then it will come again. You know, I know why all the world will see him. Revelation 1 7, behold, he cometh with a cloud. And all eyes shall see him, and those who have pierced him. In the rapture, the world will not see him. You know, only those who are going will know anything about it. There will be just the breaking news around the world. Millions are missing. I don't know how many people are going to be missing. Anyway, so we see right here. So you call it the Great Tribulation and so on. The human agent that the Lord will use to, will be the Antichrist to chastise them. In the old time, he used the Assyrian, the rod of my, he called it the rod of my chastisement, or whatever, he called it the book of my chastisement, I don't know. Anyway, the human agent that the Lord will use to chastise them in the land will be the Antichrist, the awfulness of whose rule will be supplemented by the pouring out of the vials of God's wrath upon the earth. No wonder he gave me the title, The Wrath and the Judgments to Come, right? Now, Revelation 15:1 says about that, the Antichrist will be doing his own. On top of that, the vile judgment will come and so on, that, you know. Revelation 15:1 says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath. See, that word coming up, wrath and judgment, right? The wrath and the judgments to come. That's it futuristic, but the future is here, it's not far off. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. More than any time before, very close and so on. Time is short, you know, of God's wrath upon the earth, the Bible says. And, one can read the book of, Revelation 15. I don't have time to go there, but it tells you about those judgments. Or to Revelation 16, you know, tell you about that vile judgment that the Bible is talking about on top of the Antichrist and so on. The prophetic sequence is the rapture of the saints, then the great tribulation, then the great and terrible day of the Lord. And that's how it goes in the Bible and so on. All of that. The momentum begins to increase of the judgments that will be happening after the rapture and so on like that, you know. So anyway, so we see. The result of this terrible judgment, you know, will be that the Jews will call upon the name of the Lord their God. You know, he told them, until you say, you won't see me again, right? He told them, you do that, I read before and so on like that, you know. So the result of this thing will be that they will now call upon the name of the Lord. Zechariah 12:10 says this. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Remember how I told them, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, right? You know, that's right. You know, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So yeah, chastisement, right? You will not forsake them. You already told them as well, no. It's the wrath and the judgment of, you know, of the Jews and so on, that, you know, for rejecting Christ, right? That is the cause of all these sins. Then will be the visible coming of the Lord Jesus. That's in prophet Zechariah 14 tell us that he will come back to where he went up literally at the Mount of Olives, is where he went up, you know, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I believe it is, you know, the disciples and so on. This same Jesus, Acts 1:11, he said that you see go up, will come again in the same manner as you see him go up, even including the location where he went up, amen? Praise the Lord. Zechariah 14:4 says this, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. This is not the rapture now. The rapture has done took place, you know, as well as you know. and which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And the Bible says they shall see him whom they have pierced in verse 10 of Zechariah 12 and so on. Now, as a nation, the Jewish nation shall be converted thereafter. In one day, Bible says so, their prophets told them, the Messianic prophet Isaiah said in 66 of Isaiah verse 8, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So that will be the conclusion of the judgment of the Jews and so on. Just to be able to save time, we can expand on those things, but just leave it right there with the judgment of the Jews. Each of the three categories of the race will be judged. We began with the Jew, right? Now, the Gentiles, or call them the nations, are to be judged at the close of the Great Tribulation too. Matthew, let me quickly read a couple of verses from Matthew 25, because lately there is so much noise about this around the internet. People say we are prophesying about this, the goat and the sheep nation, they are making prophecy here. Somebody sent them into the internet, on the internet and so on, going viral idea. We want to straighten our things as we hear them, you know, among God's people and so on. Anyway, Matthew 25 verse 31, let's quickly read a couple of to the end of it. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. See that? Mark the word all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's when they call you and I, right? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Bible is consistent in it. No confusion, no controversy. People make controversy out of their own confusion. There's no confusion in the Bible, in it. Praise the Lord. It has to be seen with the eye of the author. That is the Holy Ghost, in it. Any other way of seeing it will lead you into the wrong path. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's how it goes, you know. So we see that there, you know. For I was an hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and come unto thee? Now look at this verse. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Notice that one, my brethren. You see, call them my brethren, right? Ye have done it unto me. Let's run through the rest of the verse to the 34. And then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye caused into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, he did the same thing anyway that he told the righteous one, but look at their own thing, verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as he did it not unto one of the least of these, he did not to me. And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Lord said. So let's look at this thing quickly. The sheep and the goat nation.
I'm sorry? I'm just seeing the difference between the present and the other one.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's say that sheep and goat nation was going rather on the internet and some people making prophecy and so. Anyway, let's look at this quickly. Speaking of the millennium, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he shall come in his glory and sit on the throne of his glory. And all nations, he said, shall be gathered in their representatives, if you want to say that, before him. He mentioned that the sheep nation shall be rewarded by entrance into the millennial kingdom, and the goat nation shall be judged. Talking about the wrath and the judgment to come, right? We see the Jew, right? Talking about the nations right now. Now, these verses indicate that after the throne of Christ is been set up at the beginning of the coming age, there will be a general judgment of the nation. What he's talking about in the back here, and the text speaks of a separation of the nations in a manner analogous to that of a shepherd dividing his sheep from the goats. Apparently, on the basis of this judgment, certain people will be reckoned as sheep nation and others as goat nation. Where the former to be preserved to enter into the millennium and so on, that no kingdom of heaven, while the other will be delivered to divine judgment. And the scripture is noticeably silent as to whether this will occur at the beginning or the ending of the millennium. There are schools of thought out there. Some say it will be at the beginning of the millennium, some say at the end. But the Bible is silent as to that. So I won't say nothing about that, but you know. So the implication of this word spoken by the Lord in this 25th chapter of Matthew are borne out elsewhere in scripture. Usually there will be two or three witnesses, to scripture and so. Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? Let every truth be established. And another place in the Bible where it talks about the nations will be concerning the New Jerusalem, where in the Bible it talks about the saved nation, and that can be found in Revelation 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved, right there, shall walk in the light, meaning the light of the New Jerusalem, right? And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So now the thing is this, the foremost of the saved nations, of course, will be Israel. We know that. Because she had been promised perpetual existence, really, Israel is promised a perpetual existence. Other nations also are specifically named as they continue into the millennium. Zechariah 14:18 says this to show you that though Israel is the foremost of the nations, the other nations are also called into it. Zechariah 14:18 says, and if the family of Egypt go not up, you see, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, he says, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles, he said. On the other hand, the fact that certain nations, because of apostasy and extreme wickedness, forfeited their right to continue their existence is amply, confirmed in the Bible also, in the Old Testament. Yeah, and we can have examples here. For example, Amalek, we are told in Numbers 24:20. Amalek was the first of the nations, right? But its later end shall be that it shall perish forever. So we are Numbers 24. Verse 20. So we are talking about, on the other hand, there will be nations, because of apostasy and extreme wickedness, they will forfeit their right to continue their existence. And that's one example. Numbers 24:20, Amalek was the first of the nations, but its latter end shall be that you know, it shall perish. We are expanding on this goat nation as well as that, you know, and the sheep nation as well as that, you know. And again, regarding Babylon, here is what the Lord said in Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdom, the beauty of a Cardis excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, he said. The scripture also records the appointment of the nations of Canaan to destruction because of their abominations and iniquities. Now the question we want to ask ourselves, talking about God judging the nation, is this. Is it not, therefore, in keeping with Revelation, that is, meaning Revelation in general, not only the book of Revelation now, that the nations of the world will be summoned before the court of divine justice to be judged according to their work? Talking about God judging the nation, right? We see how we're going to judge Israel. Talking about the nations now. So, I mean, is it not right, according to the revelation of the Bible, that all these nations will be according to their work? What are the works then? We see the basis of Israel's judgment, right? Because they rejected the Messiah, right? When he came to them, right? And the nations, what is the goat nation, what is the basis of their own judgment? Where? So, the works, their works that are judged on, is what the Lord was talking about in Matthew 25 that I read a lot of that 31 to 46 verses. That's their works, why they're going to be judged. As we have seen in that place, you know, so we see that the Jews have been judged already, you know. Later on, I'm going to finish with the church judgment at the end of this one, as well as you know. So anyway, so the judgment of the nation is different from the judgment of the Jews and that of the church, which we are just talking about, as well as you know. And, you know, so the question is, who then are meant by the sheep? Who are the goats? And so what is that the question I want to really answer in this answer, you know. So the sheep, do they not represent, they cannot be the Jew, you know, really, because they are a different group, right? And they cannot be the church, you see, because the church, we're going to see later, won't be this kind of judgment, right? So anyway, the question, you know, the thing is this. So the righteous will be those people, the righteous people, so to say, you know, from the beginning of the world to the end time and so on. And the thing is this. And the goats, in that manner, will be the wicked, you know, and so that, you know. So if the sheep are the righteous, and the goats are the wicked, who are the brethren? Because he mentioned three things there. When I was in my, so he mentioned the brethren, he mentioned the, and so that. Who are the brethren? So let us let the Bible answer you. Say, I always like scripture to answer scripture, amen? That's where you ought to go wrong. Let's see, concerning the judgment of the nations, in Joel 3, 1 and 2, to answer who are the brethren. Anyway, Joel 3, 1. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Notice now, they are come out of captivity, right? They are come out of their captivity, they are back in their own land, right? I will also gather all nations, see that? I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will plead with them there for my people and my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. They call it my land. I don't care what the nation said. I don't care what the Arab said. God said it's my land, amen. I give to Abraham my friend, amen. Praise the Lord. They can cut and divide. From sea to sea belongs to Israel, eh? Yeah. And it's going to prevail. Praise the Lord. See? So, you know, God's war will never fail. Amen? Whether today, you know, America starts to head and get weapons, or they don't give tomorrow, it makes no difference. Amen? They're going to win this war and any other war. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Talking about who is his brethren. So this prophecy here clearly states that there is to be a judgment of nations on the earth at the time of the restoration of the Jews to their land. Yeah, that's right, that's what he's saying right there. You know, that, you know. And that the basis of judging this nation is what the Lord told us in Matthew 25. So, the way they treated his brethren, the Jews. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever heard about Joseph and his brethren? And Joseph is a type of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. How he received his brethren and so on, that you know, he was starting Christ. So the Jews are his brethren. In this case, that's what you know. So anyway, the nation that treats the Jewish people kindly during the Great Tribulation by maybe feeding them. People are doing that, you know, even today people are helping them, people are sending offerings to help them in the way they are now. So those who in the time of the Great Tribulation who help to feed the people of Israel, maybe clothe them, maybe visit them and so on, help them and so on, that you know. And you know, are the sheep nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were good to his brethren, the Jews, you know, in the time of their trouble, in the time of the medical trouble and so on. They were good to them and so on. The goat nations are those who neglect or even persecute the Jews. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Is that simple? That's the basis for it's a God of justice. For the Jews themselves, for ignoring their Messiah, that's their own, that's the reason for their judgment. For these goat nations, their own thing because they persecuted the Jew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Germany and so all of those 6 million Jews perish. You know, and so that you know. Why? Persecution and so on, that you know. Anyway, so those are the goat nations and so on, that you know. Now, so the thing to do, so now, when he said that, does he mean all those goat nations, everyone in them will perish? Is that what he means? No, I don't think so. Let's look at the scripture. Although the goat nations will come under divine judgment, this does not necessarily mean that all the inhabitants of these national communities will perish. We're going to use Bible to explain it as well as you know. So we can recall, for example, in the book of Joshua, you all know about Rahab, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So in Joshua 2, I don't want to read it, it's there, chapter 2, and Rahab and her family, who tied the scarlet thread in the window as she was instructed by the spies, right? They were feared, though their city, Jericho, was doomed and utter destruction, amen? So even the goat nations, doesn't mean that they are all going to be destroyed, you know, but that the individuals out there, like Rahab and some that will come out of there, you know, that we see. So likewise, there are many examples in the Bible. Likewise, it is true also today, that those whose faith is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the scarlet thread in Rahab's time was a type, shall find full and free deliverance, though they live in that God nation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor racial distinction of any kind in God's balance sheet of the book of life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is an election of grace, not of a race. Amen?
Amen?
Election of grace, not of a race. See? So you can see for the goat, the goat nation will perish, but not all of them. That the people who are redeemed out of them, who have received the Lord Jesus, as because there are a lot of things talking about the internet and so on, the, you know, judgment, the goat and the goat nation and the sheep nation. We have to be stressing these things as well, you know. Furthermore, Revelation 7:9, we are told, anticipate a great multitude, right, which no man could number, of all nations. Do you see that one? Of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, standing before the throne of God, magnifying and extolling their Redeemer. That being true, we must conclude that this particular judgment is limited to the total destruction of the governmental system of this condemned nation. That's right. See, the people come out of that. No, I say that again. That means this particular judgment will be, you know, limited to the total destruction of the governmental system of these goat nations, as the Bible called them. This will probably mean the divine abrogation of these nations. Right, I mean, their right to existence will be taken away from them. And you know, in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8, says this, where the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, So these other good nations, the remaining inhabitants will, of necessity, be absorbed into other millennial countries. Though the national nation will perish, this is going to perish, but these people who believe on the Lord of them will be instructed and then joined to other countries or so states in the millennial era and so on. Even more on this. The contrary fact is even more evident. What is it? Though one by reason of natural birth might be a citizen of a sheep nation, see, it could be, this circumstance is in no wise assured his salvation. Amen? Mm-hmm. That you come from a sheep nation, you don't receive Christ, you are gone. See? So, now, added advantages merely increase the individual's responsibility to avail himself of his opportunities. For there is only one way by which any man may enter into life. That is by virtue of a personal acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, right? Without a born-again experience, he or she is lost and can never enter or even see the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus, right? In John 3:5, right? Now, and here's another thing. In Luke 13:28, here's what it is. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, he said, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, telling the Jews now, and all the prophets. So you may come from a sheep nation, I'm saying, but you know, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourself thrust out, he told the Jews. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down, he said, you know, in the kingdom of God. So this scripture reveals the strange picture of Gentiles, of course, coming from the east, from the west, and entering into the kingdom of God. Why many of the actual seed of flesh and blood, meaning Israel, literally, because of pride and impenitence, are cast out. The Lord told them right there and so on. So when the Lord comes, justice will reign. The innocent will be compensated, and the meek shall inherit the heart. That's what he said in Matthew 5:5. As for the guilty, those who have trampled down the helpless and the weak, they shall be removed from the earth. Moreover, those who have worshipped or collaborated with the beast, the Antichrist and so forth, shall have no part in the kingdom of God. The Bible is the Revelation 14:9-12 says all of that. So we now know the Bible is explicit what the goat nations are, what the sheep nations are, and the goat nations are those who are persecutors of Israel and so forth. So we see. Anyway, let us move on now. So I can cover the last one. We got the judgment of the Jews. We know the reason for that: rejection of Christ as the Messiah. And the nations, these good nations and so forth, for persecuting God's people, Israel and so forth, about Now, sandwich between, in timeline-wise, sandwich between the time of the Jewish judgment, the tribulation and so on, and the judgment, and the nations, is the judgment of the church. There are three categories of people as God is concerned: the Jew, the church, and the nations. So sandwich in timeline between the judgment of the Jew and the nations is the judgment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. I'm coming to the place where I say you'll be happier that you are a Christian. We are dealt with the judgment of the nations, judgment of the Jew, but here come, what is our judgment as children of God? So that, now Romans 14:10 tells us the same thing about we appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, right? Romans 14:10 towards the end, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, that all believers, this is the stumbling part, right? That all believers shall someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ is one of the most solemn subjects of the Bible, I believe it should be, and it is really, you know. And we are not to confuse that. There you go. We are not to confuse this one with the white throne judgment. That is a separate one at the end of the millennium and so on. That is a separate one and so on. So the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is not a judgment for sin, for the Christian, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. We are not going to be judged for sin at all. So he called it judgment, but he tells us what that judgment is. It's a judgment of reward, amen? Rewarding us for what we have done for Christ. So, like I said, different indeed is the destiny of the believer. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of the believer's sins, but of his works. The judgment of his sins already took place on the cross, amen? Praise the Lord. Right? At the time of Christ's death, when God made him to become sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Some of the earlier scripture we all knew when we got saved and so on, that you know, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So man is born again at conversion, as far as we know. A second chance, as it were, is being given to the sinner to blot out his past. He may, anybody at all, may the believer or the sinner, stand before God as if he had never sinned. That is what justification means. You have never sinned, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You wipe them all out. We can stay here. That's the old New Testament and so forth. Tell us all of those things. You know, we can stand here and talk about that, our redemption and so on. That, you know. So anyway, stand before God as if you have never sinned. That which has done for you, you may have a different idea or such and such, but that is the way God sees it. And this is the great miracle of grace. And I said to this one, how often the saints of God have regretted their old sins and wish a thousand times that they had never committed them. Ought not to be so, amen? Praise the Lord. When you know the meaning of that full redemption, I'm telling you, you won't be thinking that way. Peter may remind you, but what about it? Tell them what God says, amen? About yourself and so on as that, you know what I mean? Now, let them rejoice, meaning the Christian. For by means of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, man's sins are not only forgiven, but they are blotted out, amen? Even the Lord told them that forgiveness and remission of sins be preached among the nations, right? There is remission, there is forgiveness, amen? Remission is what all your sins you ever committed before you became a Christian were blotted out, amen? They were forgiven. I mean, they were blotted out and some of that, you know? We can put about two or three scriptures there, you know, whether we know them or not, we remind ourselves and some of that, you know? Anyway, so, and in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. See, that's the Christian, right? Even the Jew believers, and some of that, you know? Even in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 33:16, none of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. Don't forget, this is one book, right? Amen? One book, the word of the living God, and all the promises of God. And in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen. Even Apostle Peter, Second Samuel, you know, after the day of Pentecost, he told the people when they asked him, what shall we do and so on. In Acts 3:19, talking of being blotted, you know, as him being blotted out. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, he told the people, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. We are told in John, the Lord himself said in John 5:24, I like this scripture, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord said, ye that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That condemnation also means judgment. He shall never come into judgment, amen? Christ was judged for us, And that was it, you know. So nevertheless, having said that, each of us must give account of his works at the judgment seat of Christ. We are told in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15 that each deed you and I do here in this world will be tested by fire to discover whether it is of silver, of gold, and precious stones, of wood, or hay, or stubble, to be burned up in the fire of judgment. So that's what we are judged for, not for sin at all. It's what we are judged for, it's just our work and so on and that, you know. Now, what time, I say this judgment seat of Christ is sandwiched between the Jewish judgment and the nation. What is the timeline? When will this judgment seat of Christ, when will it take place? The Bible did not leave us in darkness. We are told that it will take place after the seventh trumpet sound, or at the close of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Last scriptures here then, you know, to close this thing out, you know, with the Revelation 11, maybe probably 15 through 18 verses and so forth, and it said this, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, the Bible says. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell down upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Now, what? Here is what I'm going, really. They were angry, you see, and the wrath is come. I'm talking about the wrath and judgment to come, right? See? You know? And the wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Now, watch this. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servant the prophet. Not only to them, and to the saints. See that? And them that fear thy name, small and great, and should they destroy them, we destroy the earth. That is the time that we give that reward. That is sandwiched between the time he judged the tribulation and so forth, and then the judgment of the nation and so on that, you know. So we see from this passage of scripture that the rewards are not given immediately after the rapture. No, that's a delay. Rather, the text indicates that this event is contemporary with the closing judgment of the day of the Lord, when the trumpet judgment and the wrath of God are being poured out. Revelation 11, 18 says that. And we know that while some of the church will go through the great tribulation, we know that none of the body of Christ, none of the church, will go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. Remember, I quickly summarized the prophetic sequence, right? It is rapture of the church, the great tribulation, then the great and terrible day of the Lord. You say, why do you say that? The Lord threw us in one place. After the tribulation of those days and so on, the sun shall be darkened and so on. That's the day of the Lord, right? So yes, all the church may not go in the rapture, but no one of the church will be in the great and terrible day of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Mm. Hallelujah. Where you think, where is it, you know, it's in the Bible, you know, first, we are admonished in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. We are to wait for his son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead. That's what we are doing right now. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Yeah, I'm talking about the wrath and the judgment to come, right? So the wrath we're talking about here are those terrible days of the Lord and so forth. I know Christian will go through that. Some will go through the great tribulation, but not the great wrath, not the wrath of the great day of the Lord and so forth. So we should be joyful above any other human being upon this earth. So it is clear that there is an interval between the translation of the saints and the judgment seat of Christ. At this time, what will happen to us, he gave us, he will reward us according to what we have done for him. That makes me to be sober. When you are doing something for the Lord, think twice. What is my motive? Amen? Praise the Lord. What is my motive for doing this and that for the Lord? You see, that is what should be concerning you. Sin is for later forgiven and so on. We don't keep on sinning and all that, you know. So don't think it twice. Have the wrong, right motive. To edify the people of God, to evangelize the people and the nation and all that, you know. So let us have the right motive. So thereafter, at this time, the saints will be assigned our position in the kingdom, and we will assume our places of authority in the millennial government which will follow. So notice this. The judgment of the church is individual, while that of the Jew and the Gentiles are the national. Is each of you of all giving account of ourselves, right? Then the Jew will judge as a nation. The nation will judge as nation and so on, the gold nation and so on that, you know. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joyful thing that we have passed from death unto life. Blessed in the name of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall in no wise come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Father, we thank you for choosing us in you before the foundation of the world. Knowing he for you. He called us. He justified us and has glorified us. Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. Help us to go with joy and praise duty. This is the only good news there is for this one at all. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the only good news. The gospel is the only good news. Shall we just go with joy and spread this good news to whosoever will listen to us, so we will by the grace of God, and that we will rejoice. That's why we say rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. See? Your joy, let no man take away from you. You see? The suffering of the present time, what you are passing through, cannot be compared in any way with the glory to be revealed in us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for we are overcomers. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say that overcoming all things. And say we can. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's what he said us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are part and parcel of him. He is the true vine. And we are the branches. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the victory wrought is for you and me. May we, by the grace of God, begin to understand by letting quicken us, as the Lord of God has said, by his word and by his loving kindness. They quicken it by that. No, by thy word, quicken me by thy loving kindness. David knew the secret, Lord, may we never forget his Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. We go this morning in victory of the Lord, victorious, and having favor before all men. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your promise to prosper us, that thou may prosper and be in health. And we go on confessing the word of the Lord, confessing whom we are in Christ, not being ashamed of the gospel, not being afraid of the adversary. The righteous shall be as bold as the lion. In the mighty name of Jesus. We are not cowards. In the name of the Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. As we go, help us to make our light to so shine that men will see it, Lord, and glorify not us, but our heavenly Father, who give that light unto us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.